If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Well, I don't know how you're doing, but here on Post Show Recaps, we're having the worst day ever. That's right, it's worst day ever. It's that 24 Season 2 Recap Podcast talking about the 5 to 6 p.m. hour of 24 Season 2. That's episode 10, and oh my God, Reza, no!
That's what the gun sounded like?
Yeah, it kind of did.
No, I mean...
not quite that many bullets.
There was a silencer.
Seemed like it was a solid 2 bullets.
Yeah.
It's like one for Agent Richards, one for Reza, and there was a pretty prolonged break in between that first shot, because it seemed like Marie had to really think about what she was doing. She's like, do I want to do this? Ah, damn it. Okay, I'm going to kill him too.
Yeah, the wedding's off anyway. So at this point,
the wedding is deeply off now.
Do you think she's still going to go to the reception?
Well, I did pay for the cake. Emily Fox, the whole, who is it? Is it Bob Warner? Is it Reza? Which one of these guys is the bad guy? Guess what? It's neither of them. It's Marie.
I mean, Bob might be a bad guy still.
It's Marie.
There are shades of bad, like that goatee.
Well, how about this? Unequivocally, Marie is a bad guy.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about this?
I didn't think she had it in her. Where'd she hide that gun? In her little hoodie sweatshirt that she wore?
Let me tell you something, Fox. You don't think she had it in her? Well, there are a couple times along the way where you really alluded to the possibility that this was going down.
Really?
There were a couple moments throughout the season where you're like, I'm kind of suspicious of Marie. This happened like really early on, and I tried to play it very, very cool. But the one that people who listened to the 24 season 1 feedback show really glommed onto with the knowledge of season 2 is the moment where you were trying to predict the storyline for season 2.
Okay.
And you thought that Kim Bauer would be like indoctrinated in some way and would turn into a bad person. You basically called your shot on Marie Warner.
Yeah, I just didn't know that such a crappy character could exist.
You got the wrong young blonde.
In tandem with Kim.
Yeah, you got the wrong young blonde. So this was a big twist at the time. I remember feeling kind of foolish for not seeing it coming.
Yeah.
I think I see it coming halfway into the episode when she shows up at the office.
Or she's like, you know what? I regret saying what I said. And you're like, eh.
I'm thinking back on that and tactically realizing it was a poor choice.
To think about it.
Yeah.
And then you knew that they were going to be at the office going through Reza's computer.
Yeah. So she's like, maybe I should really reintegrate myself.
I'm telling you, the woman that was guarding the door was like, I am not here for this woman's bullshit.
She had an awesome turtleneck that I felt.
And she's probably dead now.
Yeah. So she's dead.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you. Yeah.
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 She saw it coming from a mile away and she was like, I don't feel good about this. I'm letting her in.
She didn't make it.
Yeah.
The good news is Jack Bauer is not dead. And, like, that whole situation is resolved in literally under 5 minutes.
I mean, I guess hindsight's 20/20, right? Like, we know that they went on to create how many more seasons of this show?
Yeah.
Of course he's not going to die.
I just love that they resolve it so fast.
Yeah, where they're like, just kidding.
We're not going to make an episode out of this. We'll give you a scene.
I mean, sometimes they know when to pull their punches, right?
And other times they're just like, no, it's just...
Kim's going to go through, like, a really stupid car crash.
Oh, you have no idea.
And, like, make out with dying Miguel.
Oh, you have no idea. All right, let's hop into the episode. It starts off at 5 o'clock. It begins in Oregon. David Palmer is addressing the press, and he basically gives this speech like, we get terrorist threats every single day, dozens of them. I know more than I say. It's a matter of judgment when I tell you how much I say. You elected me for that judgment. That's what I'm doing today. And then he walks away with Mike. He's like, well, it wasn't the Gettysburg Address, but it'll buy us some time.
47 years ago, I decided I wanted to be president.
47 hours ago, yeah. It was around the time that I was firing Eric Rayburn.
Yeah.
Okay, so back at the plane crash site, it all happens very, very quickly. Nina tells Jack that none of this was ever supposed to be personal. He says, felt pretty personal when you killed my wife. And then she said, well, Terry overheard something that compromised my escape route. I didn't have a choice. I had to kill her.
But you didn't get away anyway.
You didn't
so
even get away.
Point?
And she's like, and I didn't want everyone at CTU to blow up. And he's like, you still sold the plans. All your friends blew up and that's your fault.
Yeah.
She says, shut up, Jack. Shut up. We're done talking. And Jack's like, technically, you're the one who's doing the talking. Shut up. I'm not anymore.
Quiet, Nina, you freaking idiot.
Jack sees a glint of something in the hills. There's a sniper. Hey, Jack, it's me, Teddy Hanlon. They hired me to come as part of the search and rescue team. They want me to get you out of this situation with Nina or not, because I'm still pretty mad at you, but I am also glad that you got me reinstated back at my job, so perhaps I should save your life today.
Wow.
You didn't think Teddy Hanlon would come back.
Is there a way to nominate you for an Emmy for your performance just now?
Yeah, an Emmy Fox.
Oh, wow.
So it's not Teddy Hanlon, unfortunately, but no. We could headcanon it that Teddy Hanlon is the sniper. Ted Hanlon. I go by Ted now, okay? I thought maybe people would take me more seriously if I took the teddy bear quality in my name.
Ted Hanlon.
And so Jack sees the sniper in the hills, and Jack is great, and I wonder how much of this he knew was going to go down when he was like, Palmer, it's fine, Mr. President. Like, don't worry about this. I won't be in danger for more than 4 minutes.
Yeah, like, well, in what world do you think that they don't have heavy backup coming?
I guess that's true. So he gets up. He stands up. He's like, you know what? I don't really want to sit around here in this position waiting for you to kill me. And if you shoot me now, you do not get immunity. They'll just put you in jail. And so he lures her out into the open until she is able to be shot in the shoulder. She goes and scrambles for her gun, but the search and rescue team are on her before she can get there, and she's just huffing and puffing in the dirt. One of my favorite shots of the season is her huffing and puffing in the dirt as Jack is just cracking up about it.
Yeah.
He loves this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, so that's all before 5:04:33. So this happens fast.
Coming in hot.
So the police officer, speaking of coming in hot, puts Kim and Miguel in the car, but not before Miguel, like, kicks off of the cop car, unleashes his lighter from his pocket. Is it, how did he have a lighter in his pocket? I don't know where the lighter comes from, but he gets a Zippo and he frees it and he gets it in his hand and then gets put in the back of the car. And he's like, oh, we're going to use this to escape later. It's like, Miguel, you know, maybe not your best idea, dude. In Oregon, Mike Novick tells David Palmer that Jack is fine. No one has been seriously hurt, and Jack is okay. And David Palmer is like, "Woof! I single tear cried for nothing." But he says, because David Palmer is a man of his word, that we're going to honor the original deal with Nina Myers.
Which is ridiculous.
We will pardon her once her information is confirmed, but now she stays in Los Angeles. Let her share the fate of everybody she endangered.
I thought about how that kind of sucks for the people who have to bring her there.
Yes.
You're just putting more people in danger in that way, too.
Yeah, it's true.
It's
but
not like you're like, and then the pilots will drop her in the middle of Los Angeles and keep flying.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's what David Palmer wants to do. Jack Bauer is taking a page out of the Tony Almeida playbook by whispering inaudible nothings. He comes up to Nina as she's getting her wound attended to, and he leans in, and he whispers something in her ear that we do not hear, nor do we ever find out about.
Really?
We never learn what he whispers. This is sort of one of those Lost in Translation Bill Murray, Scarlett Johansson moments where Jack Bauer whispers something to Nina. We have no idea the content, the substance of what he says. We could get a vibe based on the fact that Nina looks like she just saw a ghost. She looks horrified by whatever it is that Jack said. And that's it. That's a wrap on Nina Myers for season 2 of 24.
Do you want to take a guess at what he said?
I've been thinking about it for years. What do you think he said?
Everything's gonna be all right.
Wow. A lullaby.
I've been listening to a lot of 90s music.
That's
so.
It for Nina. Yeah. No Nina for the rest of the season, Emily. What did you think of the Nina Myers season 2 storyline?
Great reboot. Very fun.
It was great.
Yeah.
I wish that we got more, but what we do get from her this season is so good.
I don't think we need more because it would be overkill otherwise.
You think it would be overkill to get more Nina
beyond
what we got right now? Oh, my God.
Oh,
speaking
alternate
of overkill.
Side parking is in full effect right
don't
now.
Know if you
get
all,
ready for the beeps.
Don't know if you all can hear the beeps, but there's beeps outside. We apologize if that impacts the podcast.
Yeah.
So goodbye, Nina. You were great this season. Evil Nina, fantastic character.
Yes.
That was a really fun arc. Meanwhile, Jack is now going to start running around. He looks at one of the assailants from before, who has a coral snake tattoo on his forearm. What is this all about?
Maybe
we'll find out
in a
moment.
He's really into snakes.
Yeah. Big Jake the Snake fan. Agent Richards and Reza go to the office. They're going to go through all the computer files that Reza says, I could prove that Bob Warner's the bad guy, and it's definitely not my fiance. And he's a little stressed out, and he tells Agent Richards, I'm a little stressed out. My whole life blew up today. Can you cut me some slack? And Agent Richards, who is a total non-character who's going to be killed in this episode, gets to like have a moment here. He says, there's a nuke somewhere in the city. If you don't get me something useful in the next hour, I'll bring you to CTU. I'll chain you to the roof so you have a front row seat when the thing goes off. It's like, wow, Agent Richards. My God.
Well, he's sick of being in the background.
I'm sick of this. Will someone just get me off the show, please? Yeah. Meanwhile, at the Syed Ali house, the guy has not killed Kate Warner yet. And Kate Warner is just being treated like absolute nothing. The guy says, I'd know that you told me to kill him, kill her, Syed Ali, but I'd rather spend some time exacto knifing her earlobe first for information.
He's like, I'm going to cut your earring out rather than let you remove it.
Would you mind if I exacto knifed her earring for a few minutes before I kill her just to double check that she's learned nothing?
Strange thing, though. I woke up this morning and...
Itchy earlobe?
No, I was missing an earring and I looked down and Doug was playing with it.
With an exacto knife?
No, but it was an earring that was perfectly put, like the back was put back on it and it was just sitting underneath me.
Oh my gosh.
Which means I must have taken it out in the night because I thought about Kate in some way.
All right, so Jack Bauer calls David Palmer, and David Palmer is so happy to hear from Jack. He goes, Jack? And Jack Bauer says, Mr. President! He just screams through the whole call.
He really does.
Mr. President, it's Coral Snake! It's a paramilitary
unit! He's like,
unit.
Jack, no need to tell everyone. It's God, it's a private call.
Jack, could you keep your voice down? You're in public. He tells him about this paramilitary group funded by the NSA called Coral Snake, run by a man named Colonel Ron Samuels.
I'm sorry, but it just sounds like they're saying Colonel Sanders every time they say Colonel Samuels.
Emily Fox, it is the year 2020 Tool, but in 2000 in Tool, we were all saying this exact same thing.
Good.
For sure.
It's good to know.
To the point that I think I will just have to lean into it and refer to him as Colonel Sanders.
I mean, it's really funny. I don't know how anyone didn't crack up.
First we had Cutlets, now we have Colonel Sanders.
Yeah.
We cannot refer to him by his real name, Colonel Samuels. We will just forget and waste value time. This podcast is already definitely going to go over 24 minutes would be my guess.
Hurry up.
It's okay. We've been really under the wire for the last few weeks. It's okay if we go a little over today. So he's saying that Coral Snake is probably hidden in the NSA budget. You should look into it. And I know that this sounds insane that we were attacked by Americans, but that tattoo is very distinctive and specific. So this is a new wrinkle. What are you thinking about this, Fox? The fact that it's seeming like there is a group of people involved from the American side of things in shooting the plane down at the very least.
It's not surprising.
Uh-huh.
I feel like NSA stuff's been really tenuous the last few episodes. So, like, to see that kind of, like, bubble up and be, like, a subplot is, like, the least surprising thing.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it was American troops that were doing this. You
yes.
can tell based on how they're dressed. And
he says at least American trained, if not outright American soldiers.
Yeah.
At 5:15 and 46 seconds, George Mason gives life advice to Michelle Dessler.
It's a little too close.
He gives her his whole life story.
It's a little too much.
He asks because she's figured it out and she comes to him to express her apologies for the fact that he is dying of radiation.
Right.
And he asks her what she's going to do tomorrow if the bomb doesn't go off. And he says, you're probably going to come back to work, right? Are you happy? Because believe it or not, I'm not. I'm
Michelle,
not happy.
I want you to carpe diem.
He says, I wanted to be a teacher, but the DOD offered me $5,000 more money a year. And that was my price. He says, I'm not a big advice giver, but under the circumstances, don't wait around for life to happen to you. Find something that makes you happy and do it, because everything else is just background noise.
So that something that makes her happy is Tony Almeida?
Doesn't it make you happy? I mean, Emily?
All right, I digress.
You know, you stand corrected, right?
Oh my God.
He does put his arm around her, which I feel like is maybe not the greatest.
What are you going to do? File a complaint?
I guess that's the thing. But beyond the HR of it all, what about the skin lesions? Ugh. We've seen the bloody armpits, and so it's a little unrealistic. It's not just that it's gross, but also, isn't he sore?
Ew.
I don't know that he needs to put the arm around her. Anyway, I do love that moment from George Mason. I think it's a great George. The George Mason story arc is my favorite story arc of season two.
Okay.
Okay, and so now David Palmer wants to talk to head of NSA, Roger Stanton, about Colonel Sanders. He says, I love his chicken, but I know nothing about his coral snake.
Yikes.
Didn't realize that they had.
I know nothing about his coral snake.
That's Colonel Sanders, friend of yours?
All right.
He doesn't know anything about him. He says it's probably a pet project that's been funded on the sly by the DOD and attached.
I'm just conjecturing here.
It's just
conjecturing, sir. This, blah, 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 blah.
So David goes to Mike and Sherry. He goes, okay, so Roger Stanton is hiding something and I'm going to place him under arrest. And everyone's like, whoa, you can't arrest the head of the NSA. Sherry Palmer is specifically scandalized by this, but we come to find out that that's because she's working with him. We don't know the context yet. We don't know anything, but she at the very least has some kind of working relationship with him, that she's on the phone with him at the end of the episode.
Yeah,
Emily.
It's a little dicey, but I knew she was up to no good.
Up to no good.
Like, I'm going to save David.
I'm going to save David, but we don't know what this is all about, why she's doing all this. They need to get.
She wants to be indisposable.
Yeah.
That's why.
They need to get some evidence to figure out what's going on here before they could just go ahead and arrest the head of NSA.
But she's working on it.
She's working on it. At 5:21, Miguel tells Kim, I've got a bandana in my pocket. Could you get it out for me? So she takes the bandana out of his pocket, and he takes the lighter, lights the bandana. She shoves the bandana in the front of the car, which causes a fire and causes the car to veer off the road.
This is improbable.
A desperate measure to not be incinerated by a nuclear bomb, I suppose.
Why wouldn't the cop just put the brakes on and be like, unbelievable,
whoa, whoa,
you
whoa,
two.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, and so he just like flies off the road. And when we come back from...
What, have you never dealt with a burning bandana in your car before?
Yeah, someone's never seen a burning bandana before. And so the car flies off the road. And when we come back from commercial, the car has been like flipped onto its side. Kim goes into the front of the car to radio for help. The cop is unconscious. There's no fire. What happened to the fire?
How did the fire go out? He stopped, dropped, and rolled onto it.
Maybe. Yeah. Did he just like put it out?
Yeah, with his butt.
He just like, yeah. He just sat on the fire. And like
he's
the whole.
In bad shape now.
And the effort was so exhausting that he had to go to sleep after. He's not unconscious. He's
was
just
he
tired.
Was he not wearing a seatbelt?
Don't know.
It doesn't look like he was.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But she gets the keys to the handcuffs to go and uncuff herself. And she calls on the radio for help. She knows exactly where they are. She knows exactly where to tell.
Which is also crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't make some
sense
to me.
Especially since they're not in L.A.
It doesn't make much sense. So she goes and
she's
crawls.
She's like, well, we're at mile marker 8.2.
Yeah, she knows exactly where they are. She crawls into the car to get in there with Miguel and to hold Miguel close before the cops show up. Okay, so now we get into the whole rescuing Kate Warner operation. As she's being X-Acto knifed to the earlobe. Jack Bauer, by the way, I don't know that they ever really explained this. He was still on the job because he was chaperoning Nina, but everyone's kind of, I guess, at this point just been like, all right, Jack, you're just totally in the mix, and in fact, you get to call so many shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not question this. You seem to be back. Let's just do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no explanation for why Jack is still going at this point.
Yeah, like, shouldn't he go take a break, maybe eat a sandwich?
But he goes and he meets a new colleague at CTU, an Agent Tom Baker, played by one Daniel Day Kim. This is Jin from Lost.
Yay.
Isn't that
happy
great?
To see him.
Wasn't
very
that a nice
happy.
Surprise?
Yes.
Agent Baker is one of my favorite sort of small tier 24 characters who you see every once in a while. But once he booked Lost, you never saw him again.
fair.
Which was totally fair.
Yeah, he gets like what, one or two lines in this entire episode?
It's just this episode. It's his debut episode. We're not necessarily done with Agent Baker.
You know what? He did well. Book him for the next episode.
Agent Baker doesn't exactly have what one might describe as a story arc, but he is just a great...
But he looks damn good doing it.
He does. He looks Daniel Day Kim because that's Daniel Day Kim. So I love that he's here. Great to have him on the show, even if it's a minimal character. He's just like a fun background character to be part of Jack Bauer's CTU shenanigans. We'll take it.
Okay.
And so then they go and they infiltrate Syed Ali's house. And the guy notices that there's someone on the roof. He starts shooting everybody or trying to. And Jack Bauer says, Jack Bauer says, I'm going to need a beanbag. I'm going to need a shield and a beanbag. Emily, do you remember the exact phrase that you turned at that moment
in
time?
I thought he said, we're going to need to beanbag it.
Yeah. And then do you remember what you said after that?
No.
You imagined that Jack Bauer would turn to the rest of CTU and say, hold on to your nuts, guys. We got to beanbag this thing. It's what you said out loud.
I did.
I wrote it down because I take the notes. So he beanbags this thing.
I'm fun to watch TV.
You are a delight, generally speaking. He beanbags this dude, but this dude then chews on a poison pill and dies.
Cyanide. And Jack, gets you every time.
And Jack is pissed because he thinks this could be Syed Ali, and that would be very bad. That would basically be the end of all the leads if that was Syed Ali.
Correct.
Luckily, it's not. Somewhere in the middle of all of this is when Marie Warner comes to the office. It's like, Reza, I love you. Reza, I would love to just be in the next room in case you find anything and I have to kill you.
So stupid.
Yeah. It's at 5:39 when Kim Bauer decides, yeah, I should probably run away, huh? And Miguel's like, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Get out of here.
And she runs like 20 feet and hides behind a tree.
Yeah, as the cops show up. So she and Miguel part ways. Miguel, not looking great.
No.
Doesn't look great.
No.
Doesn't look good.
Nope. Nope.
Didn't look good.
Nope.
At 5:40, Jack Bauer brings some water to Kate Warner, who's sitting outside of this secret second wave headquarters with the nicest Adirondack chairs in the back porch.
It's true. I watched him sit down on the arm of one, here. And I was like, why do they
Kate,
have
my name is Jack Bauer. Would you like a mug of hot cocoa and a blanket that we could sit here and start a fire? And
so it's happy hour, actually.
Warm ourselves up.
I wanted to tell you about the specials we have today.
We're definitely going long on this episode. There's no way around it, folks. So she's
the
able
drone of a beep in the background.
Yeah, there's a little beep in the background if you could still hear that. So Jack Bauer asks if she can identify Syed Ali because she says that there was this guy Syed Ali here. He's like, okay, that's great news. So they get a description, and he also finds out that she is connected to Marie Warner. And when he calls Tony about Kate Warner, Tony's like, what's going on? Some weird stuff going on with the Warner family here because her dad, Bob, is a CIA freelancer. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff is crazy. And Jack is like, okay, this is all nuts. By the way, you should see this place. It's terrifying here. There's a dude who's been power sawed in the bathroom. There was a multi-tool here. And so meanwhile, Sherry, David, and Mike Novick have found their way into Opcom through a back channel. I don't know what any of this stuff is, but basically, she's basically getting all of the confirmation they need to arrest Roger Stanton. Mm-hmm. And so David is very impressed. I'm glad you're here, Sherry. And she says, I've always been here.
Oh, God.
Is that a clue to the idea that she's a ghost? And she's always been here haunting the Oregon Industrial Complex or whatever the hell this place is called.
No. No. But it does, like, this is like...
I've always been here.
You're supposed to be on high alert, I think, of her just showing up out of nowhere to begin with. But I think this, like, clinched it for me.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, you're making yourself incredibly useful right now. So you can get back in his good graces. But like most of this is orchestrated by you.
I've always been here, David. At this point, we would normally be preparing to end the podcast. But how are we supposed to end the podcast without talking about Tony and Michelle?
Okay. I'm ready.
Are you?
You can hear you smiling.
Are you ready,
Josh,
Emily?
Josh, it's like,
Emily, don't you even dare.
It's like you have a crush.
Emily...
On this entire like storyline.
Emily, this is so rude of you.
Okay, okay.
Because as this scene is happening, when Michelle tells Tony, I know this is hardly the time, but I don't know how much time we have, and I wanted you to know if you want to go out sometime, and Tony starts going, Michelle, Michelle, Michelle. And she goes, it's okay, you don't have to say anything. And he says, Michelle, I feel the same way. I feel the same way.
Oh, my God.
I've just been keeping my distance because, and she goes, because of you and Nina? And he goes, yeah. He says to her.
Oh, my God.
He says to her, yeah. And she looks up at him and says, so you think I just want you for your information? And he cracks up. And he goes, so what are we saying here? If we save Los Angeles from a nuclear bomb, then we can go to dinner and a movie? And she goes, I'll get back to work. And he goes, yeah. Emily, you would be a stone cold dirty liar if you got here on the podcast and said you didn't have a reaction to this scene.
No, I did.
You were like, ooh.
It's adorable.
Come on, man.
It's like watching.
Come
like,
on, man.
It's so good. You just want them to be happy, right?
Come on, man.
You want to see some happiness come out of this day.
Yeah.
This is the closest we're going to get to it, I think.
Until Michelle is the next Nina Myers and she shoots Tony's Cubs mug.
You know what I was thinking?
You killed my Cubs mug, Michelle. It compromised my escape route. I had no choice.
Should we dress up as Tony Almeida and Michelle for Halloween next
year? Okay, I thought this was about to get really personal on a podcast.
I thought it was I thought it would be a cool Halloween like idea.
Oh God.
No, gross, Josh.
Oh my God.
You're like, yes. Yes. I mean, no.
As I start like scrunching my nose so hard to will a soul patch onto my face.
Yikes. For the record, everyone, my hair is straight today. It's going to stay that way, okay? My God.
But you'd be a dead liar if you told me that you did not think that this was great.
This was great. This clinched the A+ for me.
I know that I said that George Mason, my favorite story arc, but Tony and Michelle.
I know. I was like, wait a second, huh?
Tony and Michelle is my favorite story of 24.
Okay.
So if George is my favorite of season 2, Tony, Michelle, 24. So I love this stuff. I think this stuff is it's hysterical and wonderful. Mm-hmm. Gives you hope.
Yeah.
Makes you feel feelings.
Yeah.
All right. So at the scene of the crime, Jack has brought Kate to the bathroom after first radioing Daniel Day Kim and being like, I need to talk to Kate. How's she doing, Agent Baker? And you hear Agent Baker over the radio going, not so good.
Which actually is fair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of appreciate that because like I feel like there are a lot of shows where they're like, she's okay. She's ready to talk.
All of this has happened inside of, 2 hours for her. Yeah. It took an hour for her to see her first dead body. And as far as we know, their first murder victim, at least as far as we know.
I don't know. Did her mom get murdered?
I guess we have questions for Marie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we certainly have big questions for Marie.
Yeah.
She is able to remember because she speaks Arabic because she lived in Saudi Arabia as a child.
Highly improbable.
And she is able to identify one of the words that he was saying with the guy with the murder terrorist who's dead. That he said something about prayer, mm-hmm. and the time fits. It's 6 o'clock. That maybe Syed Ali could be at a mosque nearby. So this is maybe another lead.
Yes.
The problem is no one knows what Syed Ali looks like except for Kate Warner. So I'm sorry, Kate, you're gonna need to come with us. So Kate Warner remains on the show.
Yes.
Meanwhile, towards the end of the hour, this is when Roger Stanton gets a call, and it's from Sherry, and Sherry is saying, you're about to be arrested because they found out about OPCOM. He goes, how did they find out? And she goes, well, I told them.
Yeah, it's like, I just threw you under the bus.
Roger, it's more important now than ever that they trust me. He's like, why? He's like, well, just stay the course, Roger.
Yeah. Just follow through.
All right, so of course Sherry Palmer up to hijinks.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that's surprising is it took us what at this point? She came back in episode 6, I think. It's episode 10 now. That it took this long to get that confirmation.
Yeah, 4 hours.
Sherry's up to her old tricks. potentially some new tricks. I mean, this isn't just, you know, covering up her son's murder.
It's really not. Yeah.
This may have something to do with a conspiracy against the president, slash there's a nuclear bomb supposedly going off sometime today.
Yeah, there are a lot more people at stake here.
This is not great.
No.
We are going to require some answers from Sherry. Ugh. They're going to have to be good answers for this to be okay.
Yes.
And then the episode ends with our cats in the background freaking out and fighting each other, but I don't think that that's making it onto the podcast except for me describing it.
God, there's a lot happening around us today.
It's a lot. At the Warner building, not the Warner studio lot, Reza and Agent Richards, and sadly I can confirm that the turtleneck lady as well, all get gunned down by Marie Warner, who is revealed to be a villain.
Mm.
And he says, "Talk to me, Marie. The last 2 years, they were just an act. I mean nothing to you. Say something, Marie." And Marie says, with a single tear, "Reza, you really are very sweet." But perhaps what she should have said is, "Reza, you really were very sweet." As she shoots and kills him, Reza's dead. Marie's the bad guy. And that is how we end this episode of 24. Letter grade, Emily Fox.
A+.
All right. We gave you a little bit of a longer podcast this week, but we will begin the process of wrapping it up here. We are going into episode 11 next week, the 6 to 7 p.m. hour. Jack thinks maybe, just maybe, they will be able to track down Syed Ali with the help of Kate Warner. Can they do it? And where is Kim running to? Well, Emily Fox, can't wait to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we will learn where Kim is running to. You hyped?
I am.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be back next week, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.